Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Fort Pierce, a talented multi-instrumentalist, sharp songwriter, and arresting performer based in Vancouver, British Columbia. Over the past three decades, Fort has collaborated with Rio Statics, Carolyn Mark, Junior Gone Wild, DOA, and members of No Means No, among others. He has also established himself as a vivid lyricist and post-punk rock enthusiast in his own pursuits, and his Fort Pierce Vengeance Trio recently released their latest album, Expensive Tissue. Now, some months ago, Ford stopped by Guelph, Ontario's CFRU 93.3 FM for a live-to-air conversation with me, which covered his life and musical trajectory, and it also included a few live performances as well. So with the support of listeners like you who subscribe to this podcast and spread the word about it and make flexible monthly pledges at patreon.com/creativecontrol, plus in-kind support from CFRU 93.3 FM, Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton. This is the 476th episode of Creative Control, featuring the wonderful Fort Pierce live at CFRU with your host, me, Vish Khanna.
What a day. What a day. Not to assign a gravity to it that it can't live up to, but I think we learned some things.
We learned some things. Important things. About giving voice to the things that you feel. When I laid them all out before me, and I could appreciate them as a set,
and the pattern they intimated was made available to me, like for the very first time, and I could hear that voice.
Hi, Ford, how's it going?
It's going good, Vish. How are you?
I'm very well. It's nice to see you. I can actually see you through panes of glass.
Uh-huh.
It's nice. It's nice to have you in Ontario. How have your travels been so far?
So far, so good. I just got off the plane. You know, they gave me a Jeep to drive around in, and,
they
and
gave
here
you,
I am.
The airline gave you a Jeep?
Budget
oh,
gave
oh,
me a
I
Jeep.
Oh, I see. Well,
I asked for a smaller vehicle.
And, that's their
but
thing.
All they had was a Jeep.
They do that, don't
but
they?
But I don't have to pay extra for it.
They do that, too. They're like, we don't have the car you asked for.
Yep.
Every time. Here's a bigger, more gigantic, fuel-consuming car. And for your trouble, we're not going to charge you more money.
I've got it kind of figured out now.
Yeah.
It's not so bad.
Well, we're very happy to have you here to play us some songs. And I thought without further ado, we're going to talk as well. But without further ado, I thought maybe we'd start with you playing a song. What song are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play one that doesn't contain any profanity.
Yes, I did mention that to you before.
Finer Qualities.
Okay.
Thank you. weakness is the weakness that's too weak to be. Weakness, weakness ought to be weaker than you are. When you sally forth with nothing in the tank, you've only got yourself to thank. When you stall before you get too far. Maybe on foot that defeat could be put to the lie. Lie, 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 lie. Why don't you give it a try? If you made that space your journey's total length, couldn't that be something very much like strength? So much for the standard model false alarm. Decaying beauty has its charm. Decaying truth is strange. So maybe you're a bit like what we think we know about our friend the neutrino. Like if you had no mass, you'd move so fast that you would never change. Over in close to the low, 'cause it goes very slow. Low, 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 low. Go on and give it a go. You can do a lot of things you don't know how. You can change your flavor from electron to a muon to a tau. So much for the standard model anyhow. The weak things, base things, sire base. Every instance, every case, the outcome is the same. But foolish things are chosen to confound the wise, to flabbergast these clever guys, to check them, send them back from where they came. You can be how you were if you move very fast. Redo the deeds that you did in the past. You did not, but you can make it last. You can watch it collapse. You can trust that it has to. Because no appeal to reason can contend with faith. With an all-seeing and all-knowing wraith that speaks the language of your dreams. But if you hear a voice with that familiar tone, speak of dreams that aren't your own, you'd be so weak as to hold with its schemes. Slow to a close without too much ado. Do, 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 do. Do whatever you have to do. You can find a way to reframe all of these defects as finer qualities.
Fort Pierre live at CFRU. That was Finer Qualities from his 2012 album with the Vengeance Trio. Huzzah. The album is called Huzzah. Ford, how are you feeling in there?
Good. I like it here.
You like it in there? You're surrounded by green cloth, the green screen aspect of the show.
Yeah, where are you going to put me?
I don't know I don't have the stream going right now, so I don't know exactly where you and I both don't know where you are.
All right.
But we do know where you are physically. It's nice to have you here. Now that song was fascinating. Did I get everything right? It came out in 2012, is that correct?
Yep, that's right.
2012. And you have a thing that you do sometimes in your songs and I can't quite figure it out. It's like it's a motivational aspect to your songs, but sometimes it's satiric and sometimes I think it's genuine, where you're either offering affirmation to someone who probably doesn't deserve it, or you're genuinely trying to help someone along. Is that about right?
I have never thought of it in quite those terms, but sure, yeah, if the shoe fits, yeah.
Are you generally a fan of satire?
Oh, sure. I mean, satire. Satire is a big word.
Parody, satire,
sure. Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't satire, but very often I think that the best way to say something is to say something else.
Right.
Which, is that in fact, like, is that the literary definition of irony?
Well,
sort of requiring a reading between the lines. I don't think that there's anything, you know, like super sophisticated about it or whatever, but it to me, it replies more to the way that we think and the way that we form opinions to, you know, offer sort of a roundabout route to the consideration of a topic rather than just saying, I think this. Which also has its place, but I don't think like that. So I don't think that I could write very well like that.
Do you think that we're too maybe obsessed with sort of dichotomy stuff, black and white, right and wrong, weak and strong?
Well, I do think that there has been a weakening of our capacity to differentiate between, you know, what is being overtly said and what is being meant. I think that a lot of that has to do with how we get our information, you know, the names of files and things. It's impossible to, you know, read between the lines in under however many characters. I think that this all goes hand in hand with, you know, why younger people alphabetize things by people's first names.
When you say file names, I was wondering what you were getting at. Where did that come from? You feel like maybe intellectually we're not as strong as we once were, or maybe
I don't think that. But I do think that intellectually we are less willing to fill in the blanks. There's no time.
No time.
You need to know what a thing is and where to put it.
Right.
I think all of us in our lives, and you know, people set aside more nuanced modes of consideration for, I don't know, relationships or for spiritual pursuits or whatever, but just in terms of, you know, like receiving ordinary information, there's just no time for it. Tell me what it is, tell me what it says.
Yeah.
And that's the end of it.
And that ordinary information you're referring to is often big picture information. It's like news about the world.
Well, in the case of like a song like Finer Qualities, it's you know, information about some subatomic particles about which I understand very little indeed.
I see.
But I just sort of thought that that was, in the case of writing that song, this is a, you know, a good example of something which it's particle physics. It has absolute solutions, so you would suppose, like
right.
There is an answer to this.
Right.
And the answers that we hew to at any given time, you know, they wind up being disproven, and they change.
Right. So. Right. I see. Okay. Well, no, I appreciate that. Now, you are, I mentioned earlier, you're from Vancouver?
Yep.
Is that where you were born and raised?
No, I was born in Boston, Massachusetts, and we moved to Canada when I was quite young. I grew up in Edmonton, and I moved to Vancouver in 1991.
Wow, those were a lot of cities.
Three.
Well, that's a lot for me. It's early for me still.
Are you a native Guelphite?
No, I'm from just outside of Guelph, Cambridge.
Ah, okay.
You know me as a Guelph person.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been here 22 years. So,
there you go.
Yeah.
I consider myself to be from Vancouver.
Yeah, I've been here longer than I was there.
There you go.
I've spent now more time there.
Sure.
So what was your life like in Vancouver Boston, Edmonton, Vancouver? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's right. Then I moved out here for quite a while. You'll
that's
remember
right.
There was, you know, a good 4 years where I was getting my mail out here.
That's right. In Toronto?
Yep.
Right.
But that was also the golden age of the startup airlines with the $1 flights.
$1,
so,
really?
Sure, you remember that.
I don't really.
Steve Carroll from the Weaker Thens, he would stay up late at night and just, you know, like wait for Jets Go to have like $1 fares. It's like, okay, guys, we're going to California.
Right.
And then he would book the shows.
Oh.
After he got the flights.
That's pretty clever.
Yeah. Well, Steve's a smart man.
Yeah.
But yeah, so effectively for a couple of years there, I was able to commute and, you know, like maintain a relationship on both coasts. Well, this isn't a coast, but it's, you know, yeah, I was flying back and forth for a while there and then settled in Toronto for a couple of years and moved back, I don't know, 11 years ago now?
Yeah, you've been gone a while. I thought that. So how long were you in Boston?
the first 3 years of my life.
3 years, yeah. So yeah. Foggy memories at best.
Some powerful ones, you know, all of the Robert McCloskey make way for ducklings sort of stuff. I do very definitely remember smells and architecture and stuff. And I haven't been there for ages. The last time that I was there was with DOA in 1997. We played the Rat. And so there wasn't much to be reminded of there. But yeah, we lived in a place called Newton, just off Route 9. But I remember, you know, the kids from Zoom appearing at a park that I played at and stuff like that. You
right.
know, so.
So did you, the other Canadian cities you mentioned, like you mentioned Toronto, and I know you moved there of your own volition, you had agency, but were your parents moving you from Edmonton to Vancouver, or how did that
work
out?
No, I moved from Edmonton to Vancouver so that I could join Roots Roundup.
Okay, so you were raised in Edmonton then? Okay,
yep.
That's where my wife is from.
Yes,
I spend a fair amount of time in Edmonton now.
There you go. Yeah. I just came from there.
Yes, you were just there. Were you just visiting, or were you playing a show?
There was a festival there called the Up and Downtown Festival, which is put on by Brent Oliver and some other smart shoppers.
Mm-hmm.
And the big event, I did a solo show there, but the big event was the group that I used to be in Edmonton, which is called Junior Gone Wild.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
We performed the album that we put out in 1990, Too Dumb to Quit.
Wow.
In its entirety, Soup to Nuts.
Wow.
Which was a lot of fun. That was a total gas.
How much practicing did you have to do for that?
I did not have to practice to do that. There was no opportunity to practice.
I see, okay.
There was no opportunity to practice with those guys. But yeah, I had such a busy month, and, you know, I don't want to make it sound like, you know, the music is simple or... you know, like those are really great songs, but I, you know, like I did not leave myself enough time to really bone up on that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I have never owned a copy of the record. So I bought one online. I downloaded it. And just a couple of days before the show, before I was going to take off, I sort of sat down at the piano in my room, like, okay, I gotta figure this stuff out. I really got to put my nose to the grindstone. It was so easy. It was like my hand became 19 years old again.
Muscle memory kind of
thing?
And
it just, well, at least partially it had to do with the fact that I was no threat on any instrument at that time.
Hmm.
And my parts were sort of designed so that I could just spend the most amount of time jumping in the air.
Right.
Pulling faces and stuff, so the parts were pretty easy to, they came right back. But that's like how I learned how to play piano and organ in a touring rock band, was by playing those songs. So,
okay.
You know, it's rudiments.
So when you revisit an album that came out, I guess that's, I'm going to do the math real quickly, 28 years ago, is that right?
Did yeah, something like that. Yep.
So when you revisit something like that, do you, and it doesn't sound like you had a lot of time to process it even, but did it give you any perspective on that time period in your life, on what those songs were about, where they were coming from, or anything like that?
Yeah, well, I didn't have any songs that I had written on that record, you know. They were mostly by the main songwriter in the group, Mike McDonald, and his was a strong, distinctive voice in that idiom, and they are about, you know, universal things which everybody can relate to, I think.
Do you want to, just for people who don't know, do you want to specify the idiom as you see it?
Oh, like? it was what came to be known as alt country.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we were a little bit ahead. It would have been called like cowpunk back then,
right,
or something, proto cowpunk. Although the group before I joined also sort of shared a frontier with what was then called the Paisley Underground.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That sort of stuff. And the first record that they put out in 1986, I think, which was called Less Art, More Pop, that came out on the hardcore label from California that was run by Youth Brigade, BYO.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And so their first American shows at that time would have been with, you know, I don't know. I can't even remember any of those. I mean, like, I want to say, like, Game Theory, but they're far too distinctive. Like, who were some of those? Like, the 3 o'clock, or?
Yeah, I mean, this is before my time a little bit, too, so I'm a bit
that's
foggy.
Sort of, I mean, like, that, yeah, that scene just kind of came and went for me without me paying all that much attention, but yeah. Junior was associated with it.
When I say before my time, I was born. Yeah. I just wasn't maybe processing everything that was happening. Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, it sounds like you had, and did you see friends in Edmonton as well?
Yeah, I saw friends, and my parents still live there and everything, so
cool.
It was a great time.
Not nice. All
but
right,
I saw it, you know, your friends are always very respectful of you in a situation like that, and they kind of give you your space. And
yeah,
but casual acquaintances, they always want to, you know, like,
yeah,
tell you about their broken leg or right, whatever. And it was really, I was kind of the one day this last month when I really should have stayed home and looked after my health, because I could feel myself getting worn down. It's like, okay, I got a month and a half of shows ahead of me where I have to sing every night. Every night. This is, you know, quite a grind. And the one night when, you know, I could conceivably have, you know, just taken a bath and watched television and fall asleep in front of the fire and drunk tea. No, instead, Darcy Hancock and I went down to Seattle to see the Jesus Lizard.
Oh, my God. So, I saw Darcy's Instagram videos of that. It looked incredible, and
it was the best time since I've seen him since they were originally active.
Yeah, honestly.
It was better than either of the reunion shows that I saw however many
2009?
Years ago that was.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it was better than that even.
It was better than that.
Oh, man.
It was, yeah.
Because I remember in 2000, I regret not going to the Detroit show. They didn't come up here. They didn't come up to Ontario.
Oh, they didn't?
No.
That surprises me.
Well, I think there's a couple things going on there, but I do think that it's more difficult for bands to come up across the border than it used to be. And
that's a fact.
Yeah, and anyway, they played Detroit, and I regret not going because I did see them a bunch back in the day,
and then I saw
them in 2009, and really, it's as much about you and me as it is them.
Uh-huh.
We're just maybe in a better place to appreciate just the fact that they're in there in that greatest rock and roll band of all time territory.
Oh, yeah,
for me.
Absolutely.
And the four of them together, it's...
Yeah.
Anyway, that's understandable.
Yeah.
That's understandable
so
that you would
what
go
What was
see
I going to do, say, you know, like, we got those tickets in April. Sorry, Darcy, you're going to have to... No, because they were on my phone. If I couldn't go, he couldn't go. That's the first time that I've ever bought a ticket.
Oh, the tickets are on your phone.
Yep.
Yeah.
First time I've ever done it. I was really nervous about it. It wound up being, you know, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, that's just the sort of... Every time... I'm forced to interface with some part of the world that insists upon operating that way.
Yeah.
I just think this is exactly how the Dark Ages started.
Well,
you know?
Seems like we're on the cusp of that, and I don't want to make things too heavy, but yeah, I think you're probably right. Okay.
I am right.
I know you're right. And I think we should play, I should ask you, rather, to play another song for us. And if that's okay with you, what would you like to play?
Redeem what?
Okay, go for it.
It doesn't mean that you stop. It doesn't mean that you stop. It doesn't mean anything other than that you keep on going until you reach the top. And when you get there, when you arrive up there, you look down, look around away, and found yourself, look up and step out in a thin air. If you fall, falling and failing are all right. Falling all night and falling all day. Falling for years till the years fall away and leave you this way, feeling like you could have been somebody else. Now I want you to think. I want you to think. What was the last thing that passed through your head before you up and toppled over the brink? And I want you to know, I want you to know, that whatever it was, wasn't a choice, it taught you to make itself so. So you plan,
plotting and planning are okay. Planning all day and plotting all night. Plan all you can, just don't ever lose sight that your best plans just might be the best laid plans of somebody else. So you play, plotting and planning a rocket, planning all day and plotting all night. Plan all you can, just don't ever lose sight that your best plans just might be the best laid plans. I'll give it another shot.
Live at CFRU, that was Ford Pier of the Ford Pier Vengeance Trio singing Redeem What from the 2018 album Expensive Tissue. Ford, that was really great.
Thanks, Vish.
Is it weird being in there by yourself with the guitar, with me being across from you staring at you, and then you play the song, and then after that I mention what song you play and the album it's on and who you are, and then I ask you a couple of questions? Is any of this strange?
No. Nah.
Okay, good. Now, this song had a couple of things I wanted to ask you about. First of all, I tried to allude to this earlier, where I feel like, sometimes I feel like you're trying to affirm someone. Sometimes I think you're trying to cut them down a little bit. In this particular instance, can you recall who the you is, the subject of this song is? Who are you thinking of? If a real person or if it's an amalgam of people, who is the you?
I was not thinking of a specific person. I was, just sort of the, what is the case called when you say, well, like I just said, when you say, you just sort of use you as one.
Like a blanket statement.
When
like
one
a,
says. Yes,
you're generalizing a little bit, yeah.
So, it wasn't directed at anybody particular. There is no subject, but I think that I wrote the song a long time ago. I wrote the song when I lived in Toronto, as a matter of fact.
Oh, it's an older one.
It's one of the older ones on the new record. Just never got around to arranging it with a performing unit and recording it or anything. And
so when that much time passes, does the potential, the inspiration, I suppose, for the song, does that leave you? Were you like, I don't even know what this was going on at this time?
A little, because I probably had more concrete ideas about what the song should say and at the time, and, maybe a stronger opinion of whether I was successful in delivering that sentiment. But, I think that the song is just sort of basically about, everyday problems are enough, and there's not really any sort of a need to imbue things and thoughts with special added significance or the symbolic overtones that they all take on. When the more they matter to us, they just sort of are, and that's enough.
Well, this almost precludes me from asking any more questions about the significance of the song.
Well, that's, sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't.
Well, I do think that I think of you as a real, really excellent sort of narrative songwriter, if that makes any sense. I feel like you have a way of telling.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
You tell a little story in each song, and I think of the person or or the you know, the situation that you're conjuring, and I can kind of picture it. And I think you have a few narrative, like in that song, you've kind of paired this notion of falling and failing and plotting and planning, and that's a little callback. And I just think of you as someone who can do that, who can kind of bridge ideas together by some kind of comparison, I suppose. And I'm curious about your lyrical influences, perhaps, but also maybe your background as a songwriter. Do you remember what got you into songwriting? What turned you on to do it?
No. It's just something that I always did.
When you say always?
I mean always.
Like since you were...
Since I was a little kid.
Really? You were writing songs as a little child?
Yeah, well, I was not necessarily writing them down, but I was humming them to myself and you know, inventing melodies. And you know, just for the longest time, like up until my teens, I...
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Sort of figured, well, that's something that I'll do when I'm grown up.
Well, how did music enter your life? I mean, something must spur you on to start humming and...
Well, it was a musical family. My dad was a music professor at the University of Alberta.
Oh. And what was his sort of area of expertise?
Trumpet, brass.
Oh, yeah, jazz, per se?
No. An early advocate for jazz and the stage band, which he directed, particularly as being part of the curriculum.
Okay, so there was music in the house.
Yeah, there was music in the house, and I had to take piano lessons, which I didn't, you know, particularly enjoy.
Now, when did you start taking piano lessons? I ask this because my 7-year-old son is in piano lessons, mm-hmm. and he has a real love-hate relationship with it.
I started when I was 7.
Weird. Okay, so he started when he was 6. No, I'm not trying to trump you for it. I'm not trying to trump you here and tell you my son is better than you.
Really, the only thing that you have to wait for is for the hands to be big enough to make a fifth, right?
Yeah,
you know?
Some
6-year-olds can do that, and some people have to wait a year. Although, you know, like there are prodigies who are like 4 who knows how they get around like that, but they do.
He has long expressed an interest in music and wanting to know how it works, probably similar to you, always conjuring songs. Claims he has 100 albums already recorded, and I say...
Well, there you go. I mean, like, that kid is in a musical house, musical house.
It might be fair to say. I suppose that's true. But do you remember, I can't recall, were you starting to say that you also... What you said was, I had to take piano lessons.
Yeah, I was forced.
You were forced. So how did that make you feel?
How did it make me feel?
At the time, were you upset? Were you annoyed? Were you trying to get out of it?
Yeah, I think that the lasting tools that I took away from that would have been sneakiness, not getting caught at things.
Right.
Because I had to use the timer on the stove in the kitchen was how long I had to practice.
Right.
And we didn't have a proper piano bench, so I had to move a chair out from the dining room
because
that was the correct height. And if I came home after school and I was a latchkey kid, as you used to be allowed to be without your parents being thrown in the clink... And
when did that start for you? For me, it was grade 4, I think. I was home for a few hours by myself in grade 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe earlier. I don't know. We lived right across the street from the school.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so, you know, I'd get home and I would, you know, have to practice. And I was a messy child, and so it,
Were you also a know-it-all child?
I don't know.
I don't know it all.
I don't have That's a vivid recollection about that. But the thing was about the sneakiness that I could put the chair in front of the piano as though someone had been sitting at that chair in front of the piano, and just like leave enough on the timer so that it would plausibly seem like I skipped off 5 minutes early or whatever, because it seemed to my young mind like it would be stretching credibility that I would have, you know, like done the full hour.
Yeah.
Unsupervised.
An hour. You were supposed to do an hour.
And put the chair back and everything. So
right.
If I made it seem like I was being a slack about it, then they would believe that I had done some of the work.
Right. Even though the piano is a loud instrument and they would have had to have heard you playing to know
no,
that
no,
you
no,
were
no, no, they weren't home yet.
They weren't
but
home
they would,
yet.
But
oh,
they would
I
be,
see.
They
right,
would be
of course.
Getting home, or my mom anyway would be getting home. And it was like...
Yeah.
You're not done. There's still time on the timer.
Right.
How long is you? Well, I just left.
Right. That's
but if
true.
if the timer wasn't on, and if the chair wasn't at the piano, no way, you did not practice.
It's true. It does sort of I don't know, embolden a young child to maybe come up with ways out of it. I'm still not entirely convinced my son isn't throwing his lunch in the garbage when he tells me he's eating all his lunch at school. You never know. They figure these things out. So when did it turn for you? When did it go from a chore to, I actually want to know how to do this, and I want to try to figure this out for myself? Was it high school?
Yeah, in high school I started playing guitar and started looking around for people to be in bands with. And I was in a band when I was in high school with some guys who were older than I was.
Was Edmonton a place that kind of enabled you to do that?
Yeah, Edmonton was a great place to grow up in. The punk and alternative music community in Edmonton was great.
It still seems great, doesn't it?
The thing about it then, the thing that I always bring up, is that there were no bars or clubs that would book independent music for the longest time. So a lot of the shows happened at halls. And they would be all ages shows, so I started going to shows regularly when I was, you know, 12, 13 years old.
Yeah.
And if there was going to be a show, because it was a small place, then there would be a lot of different kinds of bands on the bill. And so you would see Jerry and the Sons of Rhythm Orchestra and SNFU and, you know, like some cold wave band like Euthanasia or whatever, all on the same bill.
Wow.
Because there weren't enough crowds of people who were just into one thing to sustain any, you know, separation of these things. So consequently, you got to hear a whole bunch of music, which maybe it wasn't your thing, or maybe it became your thing.
Right. But
yeah.
But the notion of seeing people practically and actually doing the stuff that you wanted to do, I mean, that must have a huge impact on a young mind.
Sure.
Yeah. You're like, yes,
absolutely.
This
like,
is something
yeah,
I can do.
Totally. I want to do that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something else is that, you know, all the first bands that I saw who were groups like DOA, SNFU, other, you know, like terrific hardcore bands from the prairies at that time, like Personality Crisis and Stretch Marks and everything.
Yeah.
All of those bands were extremely physical performers.
Right.
And that just like, you know, between that and watching like a videotape of The Kids Are All Right with The Who, it just I couldn't believe what I was seeing the first time that I went and saw a band and they were, you know, like loitering on stage. The first time that I saw a static rock band, it's like, did somebody die? Are you sad about something? I wouldn't look like that if my amplifier was making that sound.
That's true. You are a very energetic performer. I know you put your all into it.
Well, it's just fun.
It is. It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be some dour thing. All right. Well, I want to ask you more about that stuff, but I do think we should hear another song from you. And if you can select one for us, that would be excellent.
All right. The one with the boots is haughty and fit. She's got a loud, proud voice and a lacerating wit, and she moves fast past where guys like me sit, trailing a fragrance of brightly lit rooms. She's got hundreds of friends who all look the same,
She eats food made of vegetables I couldn't name. What I'd see is a dare she'd treat like a game. I can't say for certain, but it's safe to assume. Who are these dark women? In their caves asleep atop their gleaming hordes, who are these dark women? What are they pulling me towards? The lady upstairs is orange, but she goes. She knows things that only an orange goer knows. I could be projecting or something, I suppose, but my sense for such things is not the worst. There's a trick to the blinds is my best guess, 'cause they're never ever shut, so you can see what a mess the place is at all times. Sometimes you can catch her undressed, and she's just a little older than you might think at first. Who are these dark women? Where do they go to learn the secrets that they guard? Who are these dark women? Is being one of them really so hard? I don't think about my exes. It's like the sting of defeat is still too recent. And I don't think about the girls I knew when I was a boy. Something about that seems indecent. I don't make plans for the future. I'd only be letting myself in for a fall. I think about the places I'll never visit, and I chart the space between them and sail past them all. Trance is busty but dim. That lemmix she's with, I'm glad I'm not him. Though in a fair fight, my chances would be slim. He's got height and a good 20 pounds. He'll look at his phone and he'll look at her bum. Pass the talk to where he thinks the action's gonna bounce in from. Still waters run deep. Still, I think that he's dumb. Still, he's the one she wants hanging around. Who are these dark women? When they look at me, what is it they don't see? Who are these dark women? What is it they don't want from me? What is it they don't want from me?
Ford Pier live at CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. Ford, what song was that?
The song's called The Dark Women.
Where does that come from? I mean, what album is it on?
It's not on an album.
Okay.
It's not on an album. It's my intention in the early part of the coming year to record like a solo record.
Okay, and do you want to talk a little bit about what might have inspired that particular song?
Well, I think that we both probably know men who, for whatever reason, have never been friends with a woman.
Yes,
you
that's
know?
Probably
like
true.
Friends.
Yes, just friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, these people don't, it's, you know, it's not talking about, like, incel or something like that. Mm. It's just there are, you know, some people who might have other redeeming qualities or whatever, but to whom women will always be a mystery just
right.
because they've, you know, they've never really talked with one who they didn't like work with or who they weren't in a relationship or whatever. And I think that that's really unfortunate.
Yeah, I think it is. Do you have any perspective or insight on as to why someone might not be able to be friends with someone of a different gender or someone that...
I don't know.
You don't know.
The song doesn't go into that, really. It's
yeah.
just, you know, circumstance,
yeah.
Hang-ups, you know, whatever. It's just sort of the otherness of women being so much a part of how certain fellas look at them.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was a powerful song, and I was I'm looking forward to hearing you hearing it on a record as well.
Thanks.
Do you have a bunch of songs that you're working towards?
Yeah, that was the brief year ago, I guess it was. I started playing more solo shows, which I hadn't done for a few years. And I found myself quite enjoying it. And I was frustrated by the fact that I had to reach way back in the catalog for stuff to perform like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, since the Vengeance Trio has been a thing and the string quartet that I have, Strength of Materials, that sort of writing is not possible to deliver in any sort of arrangement that I can pull off.
Right.
As a solo performer. So I would have to be going back to, you know, material that was pre-2008 or 2009.
Oh, I see.
You know, I don't have any problem with those songs or whatever, but I just wanted something new that I could play.
Mm.
And so I wrote an album's worth of songs the year before last.
Okay.
And just sort of like, well, okay, yeah, you know, it's very expensive to tour a band these days, and the world is not clamoring for my personal appearances, so seeing armed with all of these new songs, I can get back on the road, which is something that I haven't done for a long time.
Yeah.
Just because you know, money gets in the way.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're doing it. You alluded to a couple of the bands that you've been in over the years, and I wonder if, for people who don't know, I feel like you've collaborated with some really amazing players. I think you've been kind of an auxiliary member of some really cool bands. Can you cite any of them that we would? And I should say, like, I often, when I've seen the Ford Pure Vengeance Trio, invariably you were opening for No Means No.
yeah.
So I'm sure I've seen.
That's not true. No, you saw us play with Gentleman Reg here at a show that
That's
you put
true.
On.
That's absolutely true. Yeah.
And I struggle to recall the specific occasions, but I think that you might have caught us.
Oh no, I was
well.
Just generalizing.
Yeah.
It's not the case, of course.
Yeah.
I just would often see you with. I just wanted to talk a little bit about No Means No,
okay.
And then also I associate you a little bit with Rheostatics, of course.
Yes. Yep.
What was your relationship with Rheostatics? Were you considered an auxiliary member? Did you perform with them? Because I'd see
I
you
was,
pop up every once in a while.
Yeah, depending upon who. If you were to ask anybody in the band, then I was in the band for the last year that they were together before splitting up.
Right.
And you know, did the last show with them, and I've appeared with them. A couple of times since they've got back together.
Right, okay, so that's a
relationship. So yeah, and that just sort of came about as, well, actually, any of these bands that I've been in, it came about like this. I turned up at a gig with an instrument, and they didn't tell me to put it away. that's a fact. That's how I started playing with Rheostatics.
You just started sort of fiddling around with them?
I turned up at the embassy in London. It's like, hey, guys. And I'm sure that it was like, did you tell Ford to bring down a keyboard? I said, oh, okay. Well, I don't know. maybe Martin did. Where did they go?
You just foisted yourself upon the band.
That's 100% it. I think that the only one that I was ever invited into was DOA.
So you were a member of DOA.
I was a member of DOA.
And how long was that?
4 years in the 1990s.
And I mean, this band has apparently stopped playing. They've retired at least a couple of times that I can think of.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, no more than, you know, other legacy acts.
Sure. Sure.
As far as I'm concerned, you know, like, Joe is one of the dearest people in the world to me, and he gets a pass.
Right.
Any of that. He can, you know, he can put on as many breakup shows and reunion shows as he wants to.
I wasn't even disparaging it. It's just...
No, I know that you weren't, but there are some people to whom it's a little bit of a joke, and I don't care.
Because they are a going concern still.
They are a going concern.
Right. So you haven't played with them in... Since you said the 90s,
well,
right?
Yeah, but I, you know, I pop up for special occasions, and as a matter of fact, there's this sort of provisional lineup with myself and Floor Tom, one of the drummers who was in the group after I was in the band, who the guys that Joe has playing with him right now are, they live in Nelson.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, like if he has a Green Party benefit or something like that, then... Floor Tom and I will be his band and I'll play bass. And so, yeah, right. We did one of those a couple of months ago. And then we also just played a couple of weeks ago for Randy Rampage's Wake.
Right. And I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, he was a happy guy and he lived exactly the way that he wanted to. And his celebration of life or whatever was, it was terrific. There was, you know, like, I don't go way back with all of those people, like to 1978 or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I was eight.
Yeah.
But, you know, there I was backstage with all five pointed sticks and Joe and all of the dish rags, and here's Art Bergman as well. And everybody, it's not as though everybody gets together for barbecues all the time or whatever.
That sounds
but
special.
There's, you know, they're war buddies.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was really, really great to, you know, like be a small part of all of those people who did something so important.
Yeah.
You know, just sort of getting together and at least having that much in common.
No, that sounds fun and fun under the circumstances, I should say.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
No, it was good.
Yeah.
Randy wouldn't have wanted any. Randy would have been repulsed if his, you know, if his wake were any sort of a somber affair.
Yeah. Well, No Means No stopped playing.
Yep.
They kind of made an announcement a couple of years ago now.
Yeah, they're through.
They're done. Do you keep in touch with any of the members of that band?
Yep, for sure.
And how are they
doing? Well, Tommy and I are going to be touring Europe.
Oh,
right,
excellent.
Away. Yeah.
Tom Halston's a great, really funny.
Oh,
I was just thinking of him last week because he made me laugh harder on the radio than almost anyone I've ever interviewed.
He'll do that.
Yeah. And do you speak with John?
Oh, he started talking to that woman about that, the Robert Louis Stevenson short story,
Are you referring to the interview we did at the breakfast?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
I heard that.
Yeah, that was good. I really enjoyed that. It's really still a highlight of my life.
Explaining the concept of the tontine.
That's right. He's a brilliant, brilliant man. And John and Rob, do you speak with them at all?
No.
No.
Well, that's not true. I mean, like, I see John when he's in town, but he lives up on the Sunshine Coast.
That's
not Tom.
Right.
Yeah. You know, a couple of times a year, definitely. And he's working on some solo stuff, and I was going to write some lyrics for him and everything,
nice.
But I've been taking too long about that. We don't see each other every day, but when we do see each other, it's great. You know, a couple of bottles of wine and, you know, just... And, you know, Robbie has different priorities these days. I have no doubt that we will, but, you know, he's never been a big socializer
or
whatever.
No, that's my understanding, yeah.
You need a reason to have anything to do with him or whatever, and he's just, you know, he came late to fatherhood, and that's his focus.
Yeah, the last time I saw him was in Calgary, and I gave him a hug. He gave me a hug, and then I haven't seen him since.
He's
and,
a hugger.
He is, and I know it's. I was told often every time I got to interview Rob that he doesn't do that very often, and I really really appreciated it. Well, unfortunately, we are running short on time, and I thought again I want to let people know that the newest Ford Pure Vengeance Trio album is called Expensive Tissue. Ford, you're not on all of the social media stuff. Where would you like people to go to learn more about this record and you?
My website, fnordpure.com.
Okay, that's a good...
other than that, you know, I'm pretty easy to find on Facebook and stuff like that.
And you're
that.
On Bandcamp and things
yes.
like that.
Yes, yeah, it's all there.
Store, yeah. And and you've got some tour dates coming up over the next little while.
Yep.
And they're all on your website?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that all right. They are. Do you want to play one more song for us before we go? And if so, can you tell us what song it is?
Yeah, I'll do you gave me an idea. I'll do a song from the band that Tom and John and I had with some other characters from Victoria. It was a band that Tom started in the late 80s. Him and Steve Bailey from the Neos started this band called the Show Business Giants.
Yes, that's right.
And sort of the solid lineup throughout our most productive years was Tom and John and myself and Scott Henderson and all of us just basically, and sometimes Keith Rose playing bass, but otherwise everybody just like kind of trading instruments. And once every couple of years, we would make a record and tour Europe.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, before you start the song, and please tell us what it is, I just want to say thank you so much, Ford, for being with me today and being on the show and on the radio with me. It really means a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a song from the Show Business Giants record, Will There Be Corn, and it's called Because He Comes From Here. Remember him, that's what's his name. Above the bar in the picture frame, he played a hell of a game of hockey, or was it the guitar? The only thing that matters, that he's one of ours, and we take pride in the things he's done because he comes from here. He's a favorite son. We all remember when he started out, we'd heckle and guffaw, but we really knew he had it all along because he comes from here. Once I gave him some advice, he took my sister out and he seemed real nice. I used to buy him beer when he was 17. Everything he knows he learned from me, and we take pride in the things he's done because he comes from here. He's a favorite son. We all remember when he started out, we'd heckle and guffaw, but we really knew he had it all along. Last time it was in town, I saw him walking down the street. He didn't say much, guess now he's stuck up. Or could it be that maybe he remembers how we used to point and snicker? He was an easy target then, and now he's that much bigger. And it comes from here. The headlines blare, the tabloids sizzle, the critics and the cultural doyens bristle. I could have told you then because I knew it all along. There was always something about him just a little bit wrong. And we take pride in the things he's done because he comes from here. He's a favorite son. We all remember when he started out. We heckle and guffaw, but we really knew he had it all along because he's local, and we take pride in the things he's done because he comes from here. He's a favorite son, and we all remember when he started out. We'd heckle and guffaw, but we really knew he had it all along because he comes from here. Because he comes from here. Because he comes from here, comes from here, comes from here.
Very special thanks to the staff and volunteers at CFRU 93.3 FM, and also
to Ford Pier for appearing on this, the 476th episode of Creative Control, which is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and is available on all iOS and Android platforms, and also on Spotify and Audio Boom and YouTube and all sorts of other things. If you're looking for an episode that you've heard about but you can't find it on any of those things, or if you want to learn more about me and sign up for my regularly scheduled newsletter, please visit my website, vishkana.com. You can like Creative Control on Facebook, follow the show on Twitter at vishcreative, or follow me directly at vishkana. Also, listen to a radio show version of Creative Control on Wednesdays at noon Eastern Standard Time around the world at cfru.ca, or on an actual radio at 93.3 FM if you're in or near Guelph. Also, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation to keep the podcast going. Thanks again to all of you who do this already. It means a lot if you are thinking about doing it and you're like, why would I do that? Well, the show needs your support financially. So if you can, visit patreon.com/creativecontrol and give the show a flexible monthly donation. It would really mean a lot. Thanks again to Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, Planet Bean Coffee, CFRU, and Granddad's Donuts for their in-kind support for this show. Thank you as well to Jim Guthrie. He lets me use a song of his on the show each and every week. Go to jimguthrie.org to learn more about Jim. And finally, thank you. Thank you for listening to this program and subscribing to the podcast and telling your friends to do all of those things as well. And yeah, some good episodes coming up as I'm speaking to you. I'm excited. Some things are in the can now, and I'm very excited about sharing them with you, which is good. So stick around and and pay attention, and more episodes to come. Thank you very much. I will talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.